Welcome to the Pinstripe LA podcast, where it's monsooning and internet connection is extremely sporadic. So that's exciting. And also, Michael Pineda's lat is apparently very sporadic in staying healthy or something. I'm here with both Matt and Tanya is making a guest appearance. We're going to talk some of the recent dealings in the Yankees and in the minor leagues, since that's her field. Michael Pineda was suspended already, so he wasn't going to make his start anyway, but now he has a lat strain, and he'll probably be gone for a month, and now the starting rotation will have both Vidal Nuño and David Phelps in it, so that's exciting. And by exciting,
woohoo!
I mean not exciting.
And by exciting, you mean horrifying.
Yeah, I don't dislike Nuño and Phelps all that much, but they just don't really inspire a lot of confidence.
Prefer them not to make too many starts.
Yeah, and the problem is that right now they just can't give much length because they're not entirely stretched out yet. They can only go like 5 innings at the moment, but it's going to put a lot of pressure on the bullpen.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the only like long reliever they have really, and like now they're working, they can't put another man on the roster. They're still working with 24 men until Pineda suspension ends. So they're going to be working with 24 men at least until the suspension's over. And they're only really going to have Adam Warren as the long reliever in the foreseeable future, even when they have Phelps and Nuño in the rotation. They're really only going to have Warren as the long reliever, and I don't really know who would be next after that if
I think,
he's stretched out.
I think Chris LaRue is the long reliever.
Yeah, LaRue.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
Oh, where have we gone?
I think I read on Twitter last night, like, Chris LaRue is the guy you're going to forget on the Sporkle quiz at the end of the year.
Oh, totally.
Him and Bruce Billings, yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bruce Billings made his token appearance over the weekend, mopped up and got hurt, and is now on the DL, because why not? I think he just wanted to join the party.
Wanted to join the Sporkle quiz?
Well, he wanted to join the party on the DL after. I guess he's like, well, okay, I pitched now, so I'm immortalized.
Not that this means anything, but the Yankees have to be on a pace where they're on a pace to have more people on this year's roster than last year altogether.
Since they've had like a billion pitchers already, I would believe
that.
Wasn't that sad?
Fondly remembering the days of Jim Miller and Mike Zagurski.
Oh my god, Mike Zagurski.
Alberto Gonzalez.
He was a pitcher.
Luis Cruz.
Yeah.
Dean Anna was also a pitcher. But Yankees are going to have to rely a lot on guys like Dylan Betances and Adam Warren to provide quality middle relief innings when Phelps and Nuño go short. And they might need them also in Hiroki Kuroda starts, because Kuroda hasn't been going very deep into games so far this year either.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's starting to look like second half Kuroda, which is really not good. Like, he looks like he's 39 years old, or however old he, I believe that's how old he is.
Yeah, around there.
So it's not very – I mean, his strikeouts are down by about a K per nine. His walks are down, which is good, but he's got more home runs. The only thing I guess that's a good sign is that his BABIP's a little bit higher than his career. It's hovering at about 309 as opposed to his career 282. So it's partially just like bad luck. His left on base percentage is lower than it usually is. So, I mean, I think part of it's just some bad luck he's falling into. But it's not like completely inspiring that the performance is starting to tail off, especially this early in the season.
I'm certainly not like at a level of distrust as I was with like CC last year, but certainly not going in the right direction in that sense.
With CC or Kuroda?
Last year, CC.
No, I know, but who are you talking about for this year with
Oh, Kuroda.
Okay, yeah. I understand that.
I mean, if it does go to that, and Kuroda does like lose confidence in him, at least this is his last year, and it's not like, yeah. Well, CeCe's not good, and we have 3 years left. It's Kuroda's not good, and after this year, he's gone. So,
yeah, I think there's still plenty of time for Kuroda to turn around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he'll improve just because, you know, it's early in the season, and it's only been 5 starts.
Right, and he's got a fine track record.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's incredibly consistent.
Yankees are going to need CeCe Sabathia to do a lot better in his starts as well. I mean, he's been up and down during the year. It seems every time he just has the one bad inning that really causes problems, though. And I mean, obviously he had some bit of bad luck yesterday with a couple singles through the shift and some that bunt hit that Brian Roberts forgot to be alive on.
Yes. So I'm actually going to make this bold claim. Not that bold, but CC Sabathia's pitching actually much, much better than he was last year.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, his ERA is a 5.11, but his FIP is a 3.98. His BABIP is 3.33, so it's like 40 points higher than it usually is. His home run to fly ball ratio is 23.1%, which is like crazy. It's like not gonna remain like that. And he's striking out more per nine by almost 1.5 more per nine, and he's walking fewer batters. So all signs point to him improving significantly. Yeah, it's the one bad inning, but it's also a lot of just like bad luck, which is kind of the same with Carota.
He does seem to be pitching with at least more of an idea of how to work with this decreased velocity than he did last year. Like, I think last year he just kind of assumed, velocity will come back, and then just never did. But
yeah, I agree. He was trying to throw past hitters, 91, maybe 92, and throw it not really that close to the corner. And he's throwing like that cutter that's like 86, 87 miles per hour, which is kind of similar to Pettit's. And he spots it like ever so slightly on the outside or inside corner. So he's being more of a finesse pitcher. And I think it's going to benefit him the rest of his career. There's at least two good years left in him, honestly.
Probably. I mean, he's not that old. He's got a ton of innings, but not like 40 or anything.
No, it's not. He's got, again, like I think we mentioned this on the last podcast, that like he's a Hall of Fame pitcher, and I think a Hall of Fame pitcher has the ability to adjust over time.
Suppose the monsoon did spare the Yankees from having to start David Phelps or anytime soon, because they're not going to make it this rain out up as a doubleheader on Thursday, which I thought was kind of odd, but I suppose if the Yankees are trying to go strategy-wise, it makes a little bit of sense because they're already working with a short roster anyway. I guess they'd rather inconvenience the future a little bit than tinker with the present.
Yep, they decided they wanted a game on my birthday, so they called me for. I called them and I made some adjustments. I wanted to watch baseball on my birthday.
Oh well, that figures that out.
And they didn't want the Mariners to disrespect Flanny.
Forever.
Well, also, they do not have to face Felix Hernandez.
That's nice.
That is a plus.
I think that's honestly the best thing about this is that they get to skip Felix Hernandez for like the first time in forever, and they may or may not face him in that one game, but I'm going to say most likely they won't.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be a little weird for the Mariners to be like, okay, well, we're going to Yankee Stadium for this one game. We're going to start Felix. It'll probably depend on like what his rest is like at that point, but I think there's a good chance
avoid him. They just picked it because there were only two mutual off days between the two teams, so it just happens to be one of their off days.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there actually haven't been too many games since our last podcast due to the rain and off days, so we figured that we'd probably do a farm system focused podcast, and we're going to try to do one of these once a month throughout the season, where we'll bring in Tanya to talk about the minors, since she does the Baby Bomber recaps and has generally a good pulse for what's going on down there. So, what's the word, Tanya?
Greg Bird's coming back.
Yes. When?
Basically all you need.
Bird's the word.
And I'm out.
I think he should be back next week.
Well, that's good. To Tampa?
Which is exciting. Yeah. That is where he should be. Sorry, Zach Wilson.
Is that who's been starting at first base?
Yep.
Or is that a Ray Nunez territory, or is Ray Nunez some in Charleston?
No, Ray Nunez is in Tampa.
He's somehow
He doesn't start every game. And looking at his numbers will tell you why.
That fearsome, like, 280 OPS. Something like that.
Yeah. He real bad.
I guess we could start from the bottom and talk about Charleston. In Charleston, there are quite a few prospects down there who are, I guess you could say, low floor, high ceiling, or low floor, mid to high ceiling. So guys like Judge and Cato. What's your opinion on someone like Judge or Cato? Cato's hasn't had as great of a start, but what do you think about someone like Judge, who has just been absolutely raking? What do you think about his chances of being promoted, and what do you think about his chances of this year, next year, you know, moving up the system?
I think that they were just kind of conservative with Judge in putting him at Charleston to begin the season, because, I mean, he was out of college. It's not like he was some high school kid. And I think that it was just really because he didn't play at all last year that they kind of wanted to be a little more conservative with him than they did Jagielo. But, you know, obviously the Tampa outfield is not so full of prospects that need to play every day that should keep him in Charleston. So I expect that they'll move him up before too long, because he's raking and he doesn't really have much to prove as like a college player in the Sally League. So I would expect him to be one of the first ones that gets moved.
Yeah. He's making that league look absolutely ridiculous, just the way he's hitting. Yeah. After long, just kind of doesn't make sense leaving him there.
He got off to a kind of slow start, but I mean, he's just absolutely killed it since then. So there's not much point in leaving him there too much longer.
And he's hitting for more power now than he was earlier, right?
Yeah, he's gotten all of his extra base hits, I think, in the last, like, 2 weeks. And, I mean, Charleston is not a fun place to hit, as evidenced by Greg Bird's splits last year. I mean, it's just a lot of the Yankee minor league parks are not hitter-friendly. So, you know, the fact that he is doing as well as he is, despite that, you know, kind of speaks to the fact that he's probably ready to just move on.
Yeah,
I agree. Going back to Charleston again, a fringe prospect that I have been following, because I have seen him before, is Mike Ford. I find him really interesting because he was actually an undrafted free agent in July from the Cape. And he seems to be hitting incredibly well. And I think we talked about before the podcast about how there's basically no first base depth. I mean, do you see the possibility of him getting promoted to high A? Because he's hitting about 350 with a few home runs, and his walks, he has a lot of walks. So, I mean, he's someone you could possibly see going up the system a little bit. And he's also a college hitter as well.
I think the problem that they're going to run into there is just that, I mean, Bird is obviously the better prospect, so he's probably going to have to concede to him, and he's obviously going to play first base at Tampa. So, you know, they could send him to Tampa and they could, you know, split DH and first base and all of that. I guess it's up to the Yankees to decide whether or not they care about, you know, a close to 22-year-old in low A playing every day.
There's a possibility he could hit a wall as well once he hits high A. I mean,
he's never done this, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fringe prospect at best, but I mean, he was a good college hitter, so I mean, but there is that possibility that once you get to that point, you just kind of hit that wall. And I mean, yeah, if he's going to be playing DH and high A behind Bird with Bird, there's definitely the possibility he could not, with not regular playing time and the lack of professional experience, you could hit a wall there.
He's another guy that the Joe is kind of being unkind to, because he's hitting .415 on the road and .226 at home. So
wow.
My hunch is
the Joe is just not a good place to hit.
My hunch is that if they didn't promote Greg Bird all year last year from Charleston with all those numbers that he was producing, I don't think Ford is going to go anywhere.
Yeah. How old is Bird?
21? Yeah, he's 21. He'll be 22 in November.
Mike Ford went undrafted.
I mean, how even, I don't know how long you want to leave a guy in. Yeah. Oh no, he's actually the same age as he's actually.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I mean, Bird is obviously the better prospect. They're not gonna like let Bird.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Chill.
And I think they want Bird to develop more skills defensively at first base too, because I think that's a little bit more suspect.
Yeah, because they know the bat has a high ceiling.
His defense isn't bad at first base, and
it's not bad.
They all seem to think that he's, you know, done really well, but I mean, he's not going to be Mark Teixeira there. But he's not embarrassing himself, which is good. He just kind of
We haven't really seen this in the numbers, but how is Cato's defense? Because that's really kind of what he's been built as is like a. He's billed as a defensive second baseman and kind of hitting second, but you can't really see how his defense is on paper. Do you have any clue as to how he's doing defensively? Because he's hitting kind of eh.
I mean, I don't watch all of Charleston's games because mainly they come on during Yankee games. But I would say that, you know, he's... How many errors does he have? He has 3 errors, so... That's not great, but it's not bad. It's not, you know, something that stands out like Andujar's 8.
Yeah, he's also, I think, like 19.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was always, when the Yankees took him, no one really knew anything about him because they were not prepared for him to go that high. So there was always going to be a little bit of like, did they just overdraft him? I think that he did really well in rookie ball, and he could very well develop into a fine hitter. But, you know, until they do it at the next level, they kind of get put into Dante Bichette territory for me, where it's just like, well, you had good rookie ball numbers, but I need to see you do it again. So that's where I am with him. I think he could be fine, but I also... would not be shocked at all if he was a product of rookie ball.
Yeah, definitely possible.
Speaking of DBJ, I wonder how much stock we can put in his hot start. I mean, obviously he's got a ton to prove after looking dreadful in 2 consecutive years in the same league in low A. But he seems to be off to a hot start in Tampa.
He's done really well. And, you know, there's... The fact that he's been working with his dad, like, one-on-one, as opposed to his dad, you know, being a coach for the Rockies, and I don't know how much that has helped him, but, you know, you can't really argue with the results to this point. I think the most impressive thing is that he's not just, like, getting fluky hits. Like, he's walking a ton, and, you know, that's obviously a good sign because... He just, I don't know, he had a .292 on base percentage last year. So the fact that he's like taking walks at this stage is a comforting sign. I think he'll cool off a bit. I don't think he is going to OPS almost 900, but
probably not.
I mean, I hope that he's turned a corner because the Yankees desperately need infield help. But at the same time, he's really not been playing the field because they have Jagiela there. So I don't know how much of it is he can just focus on his hitting because he's DHing.
It's all that Jesse has a post that's going up. I guess it would be today since this is going up on Thursday. Where I think it was Josh Norris said that a lot of scouts were really down on Jagiela's defense at third base. So that's not great to hear.
Yeah, he's made... I mean, I just look at mainly the results of every game. So I don't, you know, watch as closely as someone probably should. But,
He's at, like, 6 errors or something like that.
Yeah, he does have 6 errors at third, which is tied for leading the team with Cito. And Ray Nunez.
The less we talk about Cito, the better.
Remember when he was good for like 2 weeks to start the season, and we were like, Cito? Cito? No. He's done now. He's done now. He's back to hitting 250.
No, but dropping switch hitting fixed him.
Yeah. Maybe not a bust. No, still a bust. Thanks for faking us out, bro. Speaking of Tampa, Peter O'Brien.
Oh God, yeah.
Still continues to assault fellow pitchers.
Yeah, I think speaking of Josh Norris, I think he was also he's very high on O'Brien. I think from what I can tell, I think he likes him a lot, and yeah, he looks like, I think he has a significant amount of power as well, which he showcased. I mean,
the bat is amazing, but the thing is, he doesn't have a position because his numbers at catcher are ugly. Third base was ugly. From what I read, right field was ugly. So it's just like, you can't put him at first because, well, that's where Bird plays. So what do you do with a guy who's kind of unathletic but has, like, really good bat?
I mean, if he's that good, you would, like, finagle him into a DH role. I mean, if you look at his numbers, I mean, really starting last year when he was promoted to A-ball from Rookie League, in A-ball he hit 181 WRC+. In high A in 2013, 66 games, 122. And now so far in 23 games, 201 WRC+.
I mean, I would put him at first base in Trenton because, I mean, the only thing there is Kyle Roller, who we have already established is just not a prospect.
Hot start and all, he's like 25.
Yeah.
And
right,
yeah.
So, you know, see what O'Brien can. I don't know that he has a path to the majors there, just because, you know, Teixeira and then McCann and then who knows.
But it would be some way to get.
But
him
I think that's his best shot. Yeah, like I think that's his best shot at this point is first.
But if you're hitting, you know, 8 home runs in 23 games, they should really find a way to, you know, to snake him through. I think when your bat's
that good,
they're
trying.
Yeah.
Because I mean they've moved him from catcher to third to the outfield, and I think they're trying to find a place for him. He's just really not making it easy because he's kind of a clunky dude.
Yeah.
But the bat is there, so you have to try to make it work. You can't, you know, sentence him to a life of DH right now.
I think my favorite Peter O'Brien stat so far is that, I mean, he's only played 9 road games, so, you know, you're going to get small sample size weirdness. But in away games, he's slugging 1152.
He's ridiculous. Like, his 514 on base percentage on the road is just actually insane.
Yeah. 11.
He can hit.
11 extra.
Yeah, and in 194 minor league games, he has 40 home runs.
You know who else is impressed with Peter O'Brien? A-Rod. when I was watching this video, actually, when A-Rod was rehabbing in Tampa last year, I was like, oh man, Peter O'Brien guy. Amazing.
And then he went like 0 for his spring training games and like struck out every time he came to the plate.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
He's got to work on that, because even like, he's slugging a ton right now, but he's also striking out a ton.
Yep.
We should remark on some of the somber minor league news with Jose Campos needing Tommy John surgery.
Man, the Yankees are going to rue the day that they put Campos on the 40 over Tom Connelly. Rue the day.
Yeah. That was...
Not that I think that Connelly's going to be the next Mariano Rivera or anything, but there was just no reason why. And Campos should have had Tommy John surgery last year when he and Man Ban went down at the same time. Like, the fact that they waited,
I thought that was
just always heading to this point.
I thought that was 2012, because Man Ban had Tommy John surgery in October of then, right?
Okay, well, yeah, but he, like, barely pitched last year.
Right.
And then I just...
Then he died.
It seems like it's always been heading toward him having Tommy John surgery, and now he is, and now they can't put him on the disabled list, so...
And I think but that also means that they lose the spot on the 40-man, so they lose someone via the Rule 5, if I'm not mistaken. That could happen. I mean, that could happen.
Yeah, but he should have never been on there.
Right.
That was...
Yeah.
It was dumb.
I wonder if they would try to really pull Nick Turley and release him and try to re-sign him to a minor league deal. It's possible. I mean, it's not like he'd be a crucial blow to lose. He's still way off.
But if they're going to put him on the 40 when he hasn't pitched above low A, I'm thinking that they're not going to risk losing him. Because, I mean, they weren't going to lose him in the Rule 5 draft anyway, and they still felt the need to protect him. So I think they are a lot higher on Campos than I am at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be 22 years old in July, and he'll still have never pitched above low A. So I would be totally okay with just cutting him and trying to re-sign him to a minor league deal. Cause,
and when he comes back, he's probably going to have to go back to low A. So he'll be, you know,
it's a long
a year
way.
Older still.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Yep. But there's, in terms of infield help, there's, I guess, Rob Refsnyder in Trenton, who can't seem to field, but is figuring out how to hit again, I guess.
He's a little better this year than last year. Last year, what a mess.
Didn't he make, like, three errors?
He had, like, the yips.
Yeah, he made three errors in one game.
He did, yeah.
That was this year,
but that
too.
Was only, yeah, that was, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah, oh well.
but those three made it five on the year, and, I mean, while that's not good, last year he seemingly made one every game.
Last year he made 25.
Yeah, it was awful.
In 108 games.
Like, bro, you play second base. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. First baseman's right there. But no.
Martin Nunez disagrees.
Yeah. But at least Nunez had to, like, throw across the diamond. Yeah. Like, Refsnyder could have rolled it over there. Like, on the ground.
Like, not blocking.
He could have pulled an El Duque and threw his own glove.
Yeah. Take this.
And, like, he's 23. So, like, dude, stop making so many errors.
Get your act together.
I do like that the Yankees have been aggressive with him since drafting him in 2012.
Yeah.
And which I think is, you know, part of that college bat shine, which I think they've been doing a lot more of in recent years, but
there's no reason not to with those guys.
Right.
I mean, you know, high school I understand, but like college, there's no reason why they need to spend a whole year at every level. So if they do well, like, let's go.
Especially these infielders. Name on the fast track.
Yeah. All of them.
But Brian Roberts.
The worst.
We were on the topic of talking about Jose Campos and then referencing Manban. What's your opinion on Manban coming back and being pretty successful so far in the minors?
Well, I shamelessly love Manban. I'm always going to be biased in his favor, but I think that he will be fine. I think that he's looked good in limited innings so far, but, you know, I think that that's still shaking off the rust and that he will only get better. And he's, you know, he had the benefit of being so young for his level when he had to go down with Tommy John surgery that, you know, he's not young for the level anymore, but he's certainly not, you know, 26 years old sitting in double A or anything. So
yeah.
I still have a lot of hope for Manban. I don't know if everything will line up perfectly for him to compete for a job in spring training. I think maybe he could compete for one, but I wouldn't expect him to really win one unless everything just goes perfectly the rest of the season. But I would expect,
mm-hmm.
at the very least, he would be in the rotation at some point next season.
I wonder if he'll...
Well, that's pretty exciting.
I wonder if he'll possibly get a cup of coffee if he's able to rebound enough to get into AAA and pitch decently.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he has a shot, like I said, if everything kind of goes perfectly, but they've been really kind of cautious with him so far. I mean, he's basically just throwing three innings, which is obviously understandable. But,
yep.
You know, I think if he does well and continues to succeed at what they have him doing, that, you know, maybe he could come up at the end of the year or maybe he could compete for a job in the spring. But I think that definitely, unless, you know, the worst happens, which it always can, but I would expect him to be in the rotation at some point next year, which is exciting because I love Manban. Rafael DePaula has done a bit better in his second go around of high A.
Oh yeah.
Striking
out everyone.
He obviously, he obviously did really well in Charleston last year, and then they promoted him, and suddenly it's not so good. But he's done better, which is good. I still don't know what to really think of him and what he will be. A lot of people seem to think that he's destined for the bullpen. But, you know, there's no shame in that game.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, he is still striking out basically everyone is a promising sign.
Yes, he's struck out 33 and 24 and a third. 12.2 for 9 innings.
Not bad.
Yeah, and I mean, he's also, he's another one of those guys. He's already a little bit older for his, for his league. Like, he's 23 and he's pitching in the Florida State League. So I'm sure that if he continues to mow them down, then he's just going to go right on up to Trenton. Anyone in that Trenton rotation is incapable of losing a spot.
No, it would be really unfortunate if Matt Tracy was not able to make regular starts.
Or Jeremy Blake, whatever. What's his name?
Yeah. Joel Dela Cruz.
God, they're terrible.
We really miss these guys. Really miss them.
They don't even have Brian Mitchell because he's on the DL. Not like Brian Mitchell's even that exciting.
No, there's just, it's a wasteland of real bad.
We'll always have that one day of you not playing in the major leagues, Brian Mitchell. If you trolling around the clubhouse.
You did better than Shane Green, buddy. Just put it that way.
Yeah, Shane Green.
Hang your hat on that.
Shane Green has an 81 walks per nine.
It's rough. Really rough.
Maybe Shane Green will get another chance. I think, but actually, on a serious note, Shane Green does seem to have some pretty good stuff down in Scranton, so maybe if the Yankees do have to turn to someone else other than like a Phelps or Nuno, Shane Green could be that option. Not that he's that interesting, but, you know, there.
No, he's not that interesting, but, you know, he did do well last year. It kind of took him from totally irrelevant to, hey, you might be a guy.
If he didn't do that, he probably wouldn't have been in the position to have been promoted for that emergency thing this year.
Right, because they would have been like, oh, who are you? No one. Okay. But yeah, I mean,
that 24.2
FIP. He's not going to be exciting. But
no.
I mean, to find an exciting pitching prospect, you have to go a long way down the system. Like, really far.
Yeah, when's Ian Clarkin going to pitch?
I'm guessing that he will just jump to Charleston at some point over the next month. I don't think they're going to make him mess with short season. That's my guess. I don't know. But
Cash hasn't told you anything.
I haven't texted him in a while. But I just, you know, I'm hearing from insiders that they'll probably just go ahead and do that. You know who is not hitting?
Who is not hitting?
Mason Williams.
Mason Williams. Is it bad that I just completely forgot about him as a prospect?
It's not, because most other people did as well.
He's doing his best to make everyone forget about him as a prospect, because holy crap.
And that's really depressing, because he did look really good for a little while there.
He's one of those guys where it's like tools for days, but then like
he's not actually doing anything with it.
Right. And like people are going to continue to dream about those tools, so he'll still, you know, be ranked higher than he probably should be on prospect lists and all that sort of thing. I mean, having seen Mason play, it's hard because it looks like he beats himself. Like, you know, he tries really hard, and then when he doesn't do it, he just gets like really visibly angry. So, you know, it's, I guess there's a mature aspect to it that either will come or it won't. I don't know how much of that will help, but, you know, you can't, you know, every time you ground out to second, like pitch a temper tantrum back to the dugout. I don't know. He still hasn't proven that he can hit high A pitching, much less double A pitching. So I almost wonder if they shouldn't just, you know, send him back.
I assume they'll probably try to work him out a little bit more in Double A before they give up.
I'm sure they will, yeah. But you know,
it's
some
disconcerting,
point,
yeah.
Right, you know, he's not being done any favors by continuing to be shown pitchers that are even higher than the pitchers he's shown that he can do well against.
Mm-hmm.
What's the end? Speaking of outfielders, what's the return time for Slade Heathcott?
I think he's supposed to be back around the same time as Bird, so maybe next week. But
because he's someone like Mason Williams, who like a tool set, very high ceiling, but incredibly low floor, as in zero.
I think Heathcott's right. problem seems to be more that he can't stay on the field. It seems like when he's actually playing, he's hitting, but. He hasn't played.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely just made of glass, and that's going to be a thing that he's going to have to shake. He also enjoys the Bryce Harper school of carelessness when he plays. So, you know, knowing that you're made of glass, you kind of have to account for the fact that you probably shouldn't run into your teammates' walls, etc.
But Matt,
and I don't think Slade has learned that yet.
But Matt Williams told me that Bryce Harper doesn't hustle.
Yeah. Well, Slade loves the over-hustle.
Yeah. Do we know if he's going to report to Trenton or if he's going to go to Scranton?
I think he's going to Scranton.
Okay, that's probably good. Because, I mean, he hit Double-A pitching pretty well last year, so I might as well throw him in the Scranton outfield. It's not like that's that full. What is it, Zoilo?
Because the Scranton outfield is so good.
Is it Zoilo?
Zoilo, Ramon Flores, and Hot Trash.
I can't even think who might the other guy be. Gotta give Matt F. something to watch down in Scranton, other than Quills.
Yeah, but...
They're trying Quills really hard enough. Not to do that, though.
What about Quills?
Even if that's all that I have to watch, it's still enough.
Anton Richardson is
the
other.
Oh, that's brother. Right.
And there's Dean Anna, too.
That's right. Dean Anna found his way to AAA.
He basically just became... I think he's just going to turn into Eduardo Nunez.
Well, that's mean.
No, not like that. It's just like he's just going to fill the role that Eduardo Nunez filled.
Like bouncing back and forth between AAA and the majors.
Exactly, as sort of the 26th man and backup shortstop.
I think we,
especially when Brendan Ryan comes back.
I think we might see either him or Scott Sizemore when the Yankees are able to put Pineda on the DL. Because right now they're rolling with a 3-man bench. So I know that, and they have their normal 12-man pitching staff right now. So I think they're probably going to go with a position player rather than promote another pitcher. Just because the bench is so light right now.
Yeah.
Well, can we discuss for a moment how they have 3 second basemen?
Who has 3 second basemen?
They kind of do. The Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're forced to play out of position, but they're very much still 3 second basemen.
Kelly Johnson, Brian Roberts, and Yinder Solarte.
Yeah, and Roberts is terrible.
Solarte does seem to be pretty good at third, though, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but it's just...
But yeah, Brian Roberts is starting way too much over Kelly Johnson. I don't understand that.
And you're getting ready to add Brendan Ryan to that when it's just like... You have a lot of people who can play, like, one base, and you're playing the worst one.
Maybe look up Brian Roberts when they activate Brendan Ryan. Hey, I can dream.
That's definitely not going to happen.
I am... Yeah, they would probably just send down whoever they're going to call up for the Pineda roster spot.
Yeah.
I think Scott Sizemore and Dean Anna are going to ride that, as we just said, that Scranton, New York Express.
I'm sure that's what they always dreamed of.
Hey, Dean Anna never played in the major leagues before this year.
I mean, yeah,
he's the most underrated player in baseball.
He's the most underrated player in history.
He's the official Pinstripe Alley interviewee.
I have his cell phone number if you'd like to get him on this podcast. Call him up.
Dean Anna.
Let's bring him on the show.
Get Dean Anna coming in from the car phone. Dean, you're on the fan.
First time, long time. Have you been listening?
Big fan of the show. I think that we should trade Eduardo Nunez for Mike Trout.
I'm hanging up.
Throw
a
couple of prospects in there.
Oh man. Well, anyway, back to farm. I think that's about covers it. Oh wait, have we heard about Jose Ramirez? Is he alive?
No, he's not.
Okay, well that's a shame.
R.I.P.
Whenever he is alive, I guess he'll just go to the bullpen since Cashman's like, yeah, we're kind of done with that.
How unexciting is that? It's just like, yeah, he's now a reliever, and he's not even a healthy one. Okay.
There's also been a lot of good pitching so far from Luis Severino.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about Luis Severino at all.
Who is slowly creeping his way to fringe prospect, and I mean, my opinion, I'm a big fan of Luis Severino. I think that he's going to be on the top 15 or top 10 list for the Yankees for next year. I mean, and he's young. I mean, he's actually only a few months younger. He's only a few months older than I am.
1994.
Yeah, he's only he only has pitched 19 innings so far this year, but he struck out 10.4 per 9. No home runs and 2.84 walks per 9. So he's been pretty dominant pretty much for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I like Severino too.
So
I think
he's incredibly raw, and like his mechanics are not mature at all. He's so inefficient the way he throws, and it's like all top heavy, and he's got this ridiculous arm recoil that he has, his arm goes flying. So it's very busy at the moment. And I think that once the pitching coaches, as he moves through the system, really calm him down and sort of get his mechanics in a more mature manner as his body also fills out, I think he could be a pretty legit prospect because his stuff is pretty nasty.
Well, that's good.
I'm hoping that I get to see either him or Clarkin when I see the River Dogs in June.
I bet you'll probably see Clarkin. I think that would be a lot of fun. I've heard that, contrary to Severino, like, Clarkin is pretty smooth mechanics for, like, an amateur. I think he's, like, 18 or 19.
Well, it's just a matter of their schedule lining up to the game that I'm going to.
Yeah, true.
But hopefully one of them is pitching that night because there's really not much exciting stuff going on pitching-wise in Charleston.
I think that's about everyone. Oh, wait.
Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez. Well. He's a prospect, maybe. No, he's been hitting really well.
Yeah, he has. He's trying to really salvage that, like, core group of Mason Williams, Tyler Austin.
Yeah, Tyler Austin's not really alive either.
No.
But,
and I think what's really significant about him is now that the Yankees this year are going to go very hard internationally, it's important to note that Gary Sanchez was a big international signing. And I believe they signed him for $3 million.
Yeah, they gave him a huge chunk of money.
Yeah, and the Yankees are probably going to give that type of contract to about 6 or 7 different players, at least about $1.5 million. And hey, if like one or two of them are like Gary Sanchez in terms of prospects, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So he's definitely progressing really nicely, and I mean, Tadia, what do you think the ETA is for him? For I mean, obviously there's Brian McCann, but when do you think he like wiggles his way onto the backup catcher role, which is kind of the inevitable role he's going to fall into?
I'm guessing that he has a decent chance at being the backup in 2016. I think that by that time there will be some kind of rotation between first base, DH, and catcher with Teixeira, McCann, and Sanchez, hopefully, if everything goes well. And I mean, he's still pretty young, so I don't think that's terrible. I think that he could force his way into the mix sooner by playing well, but they've kind of been pretty consistent with keeping him, you know, he's not really, like, flying through the system, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, the beginning of 2016 by the time he was in contention for a backup job. Maybe he ends up being, you know, a late season call-up next year. But they really just haven't moved him along very quickly, and I don't expect that to really change now that they have McCann.
And that is a good bonus of, like, having McCann. They don't have to, like, try to rush Sanchez if they really don't think his defense is ready. And, I mean, I guess we were all, back when Jesus Montero was a big prospect on the Yankees, we were all like, oh, his defense can't be that bad. Well, apparently it was.
Apparently it can.
Yeah. But, and it does sound like, I mean, it's really hard for us to get an idea of how Gary Sanchez's defense is. But I don't know. It seems like some reports are that he's improving and some reports are just that he's not good. It's very difficult to tell.
I guess, you know, worst case scenario, by the time he forces his way to the majors, first base is open and they kind of just stick him over there.
Do you think J.R. Murphy is going to get traded at some point?
I really think so. I mean, I think the right now the organization, even though Cervelli's hurt, they're like incredibly high on Cervelli for some reason. It's kind of like how they were very high on Eduardo Nunez for like an incredibly long time. And I think the internal projections or internal scouting reports in Cervelli is they like him as the backup catcher. And, I mean, right now I think J.R. Murphy is going to kind of be the guy as the backup catcher. But I think looking at the long-term setup of the catchers for the Yankees, you really have Cervelli as the backup until they really want Sanchez to come up and then be the backup and then fill in McCann's role. And I don't really think they see a future for a guy like J.R. Murphy who really could be a pretty good starting catcher for a major league team. And he really has no place because like he's going to hit his peak while the Yankees still have Brian McCann. So there's really no reason for them to keep him and have him just kind of sitting on the shelf when they could marginally get a little more value by kind of getting someone else.
Possibly, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't see what type of future he has in the organization.
I mean, I don't know that he'd be hitting like his prime years when he can.
No, but I mean, if a guy's going to be a younger guy, 20 or 24 or 25, you want him like, and he's a decent prospect. I mean, very recently, Baseball Prospectus rated him as having one of the highest upsides of any rookie in terms of future value. So, like, I don't, you know, is that really the best option, you know, to just leave him there on the bench when you could easily, not easily, but you could try to work out a deal to get middle infield help.
Maybe.
Or even a prospect in an area where you feel like they have higher upside than the team thinks.
I'm sure the Yankees are probably feeling around for stuff like that because
the thing is that I think that Murphy's trade stock was probably never higher than this offseason, and the Yankees were obviously shopping catchers and they didn't work out a deal.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that either other teams don't think of Murphy as highly as some or the Yankees are overvaluing him because I don't think he has a future on the team, really. I mean, as anything other than a backup, and if he's going to be a backup, then he's not going to have that much value. But I still think that if other teams were kind of clamoring to give up something good, that a deal would have been done this offseason after he was coming off a really, really, really good year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get anything good in return, but, I mean, they could try to find a prospect who maybe is undervalued in a system. I mean, there are deals to be, because, I mean, getting a prospect back that you think has upside is better than having a prospect in your as a backup catcher who you're not going to get any, like, you're not going to get any value out of.
Well, you don't want to give him away for like nothing or just like a.
No, obviously not. You don't want to, you know.
And he's useful.
Yeah, you don't want to give him away.
And he's useful right now because he's a decent backup catcher to have while Cervelli is on the shelf. I prefer him to
throw
behind.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything. Yeah, they're not going to do anything right now.
Yep. Okay, well, I think that's enough farm talk, probably. And it's like midnight, so Tanya can go.
Thanks.
Now go stay up till 3 doing the Baby Bomber recap.
No, only Tampa played, so
like 10 minutes. Nice. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on, talking to the Baby Bombers.
It was a blast.
Catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Right.
Bye.
So we have the tweet bag here, and on Twitter, we have from @BlackjackRazak, which is a pretty fun name. Rotation's gone from straight A's to DL in the blink of an eye. Any chance of help from outside the organization? I'm thinking probably not.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think the downside to having a second wild card is that teams are less likely to sell. So the best time to get a deal done is not in May. It's most likely in July.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to happen. Nothing big is going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, and even if it did, it would have to be from a team who's just really, really down and out of it. And not even, I mean, because the thing is, you could maybe work on a trade with a team like, I know someone brought up the Cubs with Samardzija, and that's possible because they're looking to build for the future. But other than that, most teams are going to be around 500 area-ish, so no one's going to want to completely sell off at the break. So I don't really, and especially with pitching. So I don't really see anything happening on that front.
Right, and especially right now, I think the best you're going to get is like a Freddy Garcia equivalent.
Yeah, someone that maybe is just on the scrap heap. That's what I would see.
Were you going to say something, Matt F?
No, I mean. Yeah, I disagree that I can't really see anything happening, especially right now.
And I think they've said they're going to turn to two internal options, so it'll probably be Nuno, Phelps,
yeah.
Maybe a Seves. Okay, and tweet bag on the site from Greg Kirkland. With Nova and Pineda out, who do you think the Yankees will call up to help out if Phelps/Nuno falter? Or will they make a trade? Also, rumor has it that you hate bacon. Can you confirm or deny this? I can deny that I hate bacon. That is heresy. Bacon is good.
Good. Yeah. Good to hear.
The bacon comment is borderline defamation.
It is. I don't know if I can stand for that. Tweet bag over. But
drops mic.
Yes. As far as, I mean, I guess we just talked about that. I think if Phelps Nuno falter, it'll probably be Seves.
Seves.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's officially you're gonna enter weird baseball of the season. Weird. It's usually that's the start that you block out of your mind at the end of the season.
Weird baseball is that Hector Nwesi got a start today.
Yeah, I think that perfectly sums up.
Who's even on walks. Now? I don't even know.
He's on the White Sox.
Oh, I totally missed that.
He did pitch. Said, in his first Sox start, Hector Nwesi got lifted in the fourth, and the bats did little to help him out.
What a surprise. Let's see. His final line was 3 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Currently has a season ERA of 11.12.
No, I'll bet he brought it down with that.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
But, hey, the important thing is that he faced Miguel Cabrera, and Miguel Cabrera did not hit 20 home runs against him.
Yeah. So that's weird baseball, and I'm hoping that the Yankees do not have to come to that, but it might.
Yeah, I can't see many backup options other than a Seves and maybe Shane Green, who we talked about. Next, from a longtime listener, who is most likely to be in the Yankees rotation in 2015? Scherzer, Lester, Phelps, or Warren? And how has your answer changed since I asked this question a couple of weeks ago? LCL did ask this question a couple of weeks ago, and I believe I said Phelps, and I think I would still say Phelps is most likely out of those guys.
Yeah, out of those guys, I'd still agree, Phelps.
Yep, I'm gonna agree and say Phelps. I think Scherzer especially is gonna ask for some ridiculous deal. I don't know who's gonna give it to him. I personally, I think that when it comes to Scherzer, he demanded such a crazy deal, he's either going to come back to the Tigers because they're going to bring down the price, or it's almost going to be like a Steven Drew situation where it's going to be like getting later into free agency and he's still demanding this like huge deal and no one's going to want to give it to him.
I think people are going to be more likely to give it to Scherzer than Drew. Because, like, Shin-Soo Chu lasted a little bit longer than we might have thought asking for a big deal, and he eventually got it, so.
I mean, but the offer he turned down, though, I mean.
From the Yankees,
No, I'm talking about Scherzer.
Oh, yeah.
He turned down, I'm trying to look what the actual deal was.
Like 8 years, $144 million, something like that.
Yeah, it was 6 years, $144 million.
Yeah.
I mean, what type of deal is he going to get?
I mean, it's possible that he gets a better one if he has another
strong
year.
He'd have to get eight. He'd have to almost get, you know, in a little bit less than Cano territory, which I think is kind of crazy.
No, not quite that high. I'm talking about like what. Felix got in his extension from the Mariners. I think Scherzer could probably get something comparable if he has another great, like, Cy Young caliber season.
He would have to have a Cy Young caliber season just because he's had one great year and one very good year and then two decent years. It's not like, you know, he's like Felix. He's not Felix.
No. But Felix also never hit the open market, so.
No, that's true. Yeah. But, I mean, you're really basing a lot of the decision to give him this type of deal off of that year.
Or 2 years.
So,
2 years in this game,
yeah,
he does have a good
2 year. Yeah, exactly. So, definitely not going to be on the Yankees, though. Yankees are not going to give him that money.
No, obviously.
And they're not going to give the money to Lester either. Because, The Red Sox did claim that they're not working on an extension anymore, if I'm not mistaken, which means he will hit the open market. And if that serves any precedent, that's what's happened in the past. I would expect Lester to go to a different team.
Yeah.
I
mean, if the Red Sox aren't willing to pay the extension, which will probably be less than the open market, they're probably not going to be willing to pay more, which will have to be paid on the open market. So,
right.
I'll go with Phelps.
Yeah. When LTL asked us the first time, I believe we talked about some of the other names that would be available that we think were more likely than either Scherzer or Lester, and I would still say that those names are still more likely.
Yeah, I totally think that Brandon McCarthy or someone like that is more likely.
Yeah.
I think I said that a few weeks ago, that Brandon McCarthy is someone I think the Yankees are going to look at almost in the same way as Carota. He's like not a frontline starter. He's not going to blow people away, but you're going to really get more bang for your buck because he's only getting paid $7.25 million per year, you know, from 2013 to 2014. And he's a decent pitcher.
I think
that's definitely. I mean, that's actually better than market value.
Well, he does.
So,
I think his problem is staying healthy. Typically.
Yeah, he does have problems staying healthy. But he had one good year with the A's, and he's had two decent years with the A's and Diamondbacks. And for the price, I mean, as a number four starter, that's pretty. That could be pretty good. If they pay him $10 million, I think that's a bargain.
I will note that he does have a 5.5 ERA right now.
Yeah, but he also has a 4.46 FIP, and it doesn't really tell.
A 1.42 WHIP, that's not good.
And also to be fair, 2014 Diamondbacks.
Yeah, 2014 Diamondbacks are atrocious.
And he also but he does have 8.2 Ks per nine. So, I mean, yeah, I think that he could be a good. I think he could be a good fit. Only problem is the home runs. I think.
See, that's why I don't. I would want to stay away.
Yeah.
I like Brandon McCarthy, and I think he's hilarious on Twitter, and I'm glad that he's not one of those players like, yo, sabermetrics are evil. But
I don't know. He's an option. I just think it's going to be someone of that caliber who's not great. Who's not great. They're just good, and you can pay them maybe $10 million a year, and you'll get below market value price for them, and they're still pretty. Because really the thing is the Yankees can't be paying $25 million for a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, the point is just that.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that it's Brandon McCarthy, just door number three or whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, from El Grico, does a year off do wonders for A-Rod's health, allowing him to play 130 games in the field in 2015? I'm going to say no.
Yep.
I'm not even sure if he's going to play again.
Yeah, there's that. But
oh, no, he'll play. He will absolutely play. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know if I'd say absolutely. Yankees might just eat the deal.
I don't know. That's a big deal to eat.
Yeah, but it's also A-Rod. Their relationship is really, really fractured at this point.
Sorry, go ahead. Do they really want to cough up, I think it's $65 million, like, at once?
They might.
Is that worth, I mean, then you're paying $65 million, and then you have a black hole at third base.
They might. I think it's like 50-50 whether or not he plays for the Yankees in 2015.
I think they eat the last year.
I just can't see him returning to the Yankees after.
Maybe. I mean, but the thing is he's still going to want his – he's still going to ask for his money.
Oh, yeah, they can give him his money. They just don't have to play him. And I think you'd probably get the Barry Bonds treatment on the open market.
Oh, yeah, no team would sign. No team – because he's not like Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds had, like, the highest OPS or, like, in baseball. You know, A-Rod is like, struggling, so –
Yeah,
he'll get the Barry Bonds treatment just for not being as good as he was. And but if he does play for the Yankees and he is healthy, he's going to play. I don't think they're just going to sit. I think they're not going to just sit him. He's going to play a significant amount of time because if you're paying him that money, you're going to put him in the game.
I don't think that he would.
And he's bet.
I don't think he would play 130 games in the field, though. I think.
No, I don't. I think he would play like 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question is from Billy W. When do you guys see Gigalo or Judge making the majors? Not for a while. Maybe if they do make the majors, I would say like late 2016 at best.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, something like that.
Judge would probably be later because Gigalo is about, you know, 6 months or whatever, a year ahead of Gigalo is about a year ahead of Judge. It depends on how Judge plays, but in terms of development, Jagawa's been playing for another year.
And I think his swing is supposed to be a little bit more polished than Judge's.
Yeah, so I would say Jagawa late 2016. I would say Judge early 2017.
I think
by early, I mean like June.
I think I would say late 2016 for both, just because I think there's a possibility that Judge could usurp Jagawa, but...
Possible. I mean, he has the physical prowess.
Yeah, but we are like forecasting stuff way down the line. So,
yeah, they could also fold. That's also the other possibility. We've seen that happen many times with first round Yankee prospects.
Aaron Judge could decide that he wants to enter a monastery.
He wants to become an actual judge.
He wants to look like the Dread Pirate Roberts. I mean, he's already like halfway there. He just needs a cape.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. That's it for the tweet bag. So we'll move on to the Yankee and the Mitre of the week. Matt P., your Yankee of the week.
My Yankee of the week is, I think it probably was the same Yankee of the week last week, Masahiro Tanaka.
He's good at baseball.
He's good at baseball. He's good at life. This is the narrative, and it's almost funny because it's almost like the narrative you have with the lead pitchers is when he pitched against the Angels, he had a quote unquote bad start and he struck out 11 batters.
Yeah, that's
and he allowed, I believe it was 2 or 3 runs. So if that's a bad start, hey, that's good. I'm good with that.
Yep. Matt F., you're Yankee of the week.
Okay, so my call just dropped for a second.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, who did... I didn't hear who.
Matt picked Tanaka, because of course.
Oh, okay. So you know what? I'm going to go with J.R. Murphy, because he had that game last Saturday.
He did.
Where he had his first home run.
Got a dinger, and he got some ribeyes, too.
3 RBIs. Yeah, I'll go with J.R. Or John Ryan, oil tycoon.
Did having that game reclaim his oil tycoon status?
Definitely. And he earned the two names.
Okay. My Yankee of the week, I'll go with, I think David Robertson has been pretty good. I'm going to check
nice.
The numbers for a moment.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because if I recall correctly, I think he's gotten a couple saves in the past week with some pretty clutch outings. Yeah, yeah. Three scoreless innings, three games, two saves, and a bunch of strikeouts. So that's pretty much exactly what the Yankees could have hoped for, because they need David Robertson to be the anchor of their bullpen and really set the course. And he bailed them out in consecutive tight situations in that Angel series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, David Robertson. Okay, and the Mitre of the week. Matt P., go.
I'm going to go with Hiroki Kuroda. We talked about, the Yankees played pretty well this week, I think. But Kuroda struggling so far, and I think that partially could just be a hair of luck. But definitely showing his age a little bit this week. So, unfortunately, he's a Mitre. Very sad.
Yeah, that's justified.
Yeah.
All right, Matt F., your Mitre of the week.
My Mitre of the week is going to Sergio Mitre for his Twitter.
You know what? I'll allow it. That's fair. His Twitter is terrifying.
Between the pictures...
Did you see he was eating horse meat?
Yes.
Between that tweet, the pictures of the fluid that he had drained, and the complaints that he was no kids were coming out to him to learn to at some baseball camp he was at. It's like, what are you doing?
I can't imagine why people wouldn't want to learn how to pitch from me. Sergio Mitre, pitcher, quote unquote. Oh God, the worst. Can't believe he's employed.
He's not.
Or no, I said I can't believe he was employed by the Yankees for like enough. 3 years in a row. They actively paid him $2.5 million, I think, total.
They paid him money.
They said, yeah, he'll do.
Here's a check to Sergio Mitre.
Yep. Okay. My Mitre of the week, it's going to go to Brian McCann because he is slumping real bad right now. He is he's hitting 100, 182, 100 in the past week.
But there is a bright spot to his bad hitting.
The GIF?
The GIF, that's one of them, and the other one is his pitch framing. According to Baseball Prospectus, he so far has been worth 3.7 framing runs this season.
That's good. At least he's doing something.
And he's been averaging 27 framing runs per 7,000 receptions, which is pretty darn good, if you ask me. So,
but I will.
All he has to do is hit okay.
He does have to hit okay, but he has not been hitting anywhere close to okay in the past week.
Yeah.
Also, I should give a bonus Mitre to Alfonso Soriano, because cold Soriano is not pretty to watch.
Yeah.
It's like watching, all of a sudden he turns into like a high school player, for when he's not hitting.
McCann chased some pretty bad pitches the other day, too. But Soriano, that's his bread and butter. Struck out 7 times in 26 plate appearances over the past week.
Mm.
With, of course, 1 walk.
That's not as bad as... I think Ichiro only has 1 walk on the whole season.
Yeah. Ichiro's been actually hitting a little okay, though. So I'll cut him some slack. He's not really playing enough to really be worth a damn.
Yeah.
As he should be. Okay.
Soriano.
Hmm?
Soriano is very much like how I play baseball video games, in that...
You just swing at everything?
Well, that, but like, it'll be like one pitch where I swing at it, it's outside the zone, then on the next pitch I'm like, okay, I can't swing at this one. And then that one is right down the middle, and I'm like, oh crap. Then I'll have 2 strikes on me, and the next one will be like 2 feet over my head, and I'll swing at that one.
Yeah, yep. I'd buy that.
That's pretty accurate for me.
Okay, I think that'll do it for us on the Pinstripe Valley podcast, unless you guys have anything else to add.
No, I think we covered all of our bases.
Ah, baseball pun. Because this is a podcast about baseball. Yankees baseball.
We're here every week.
Go baseball.
Yep. So, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley, and you can follow us at our GIF account, which is now at PSA_GIFs. Like us on Facebook. We're now Pinstripe Alley once again, which is wonderful. And, find us on the website, pinstripevalley.com.
and rate and review us on iTunes. Really appreciate any reviews you might have or any suggestions. And even just ratings will make us actually appear on iTunes, so that's cool. And I think that's about it. You can follow, if you want to follow each of us on Twitter, I'm at Mern's PSA. Matt Ferencek is Matt F15, and Matt Provenzano is M Pro. What's the numbers?
6294.
M Pro 6294. And I'll also add Tanya is at Tanya Bondurant. And find us all on the PSA Twitter account. So, from the Matts, Tanya, and myself, and Quills, because why not? Have a good night.
He's ever present.
Exactly.